Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the opportunity we have to come to Thy house and worship Thee. And we pray, O Lord, that Thy Spirit might be with us as He has been with us thus far in worship, that He might be with us now as we come to the preaching and hearing of Thy Word. Bless Thy servant to preach Thy Word in power and demonstration of Thy Spirit. Bless Thy people with hearing ears and understanding hearts, that we might hear those things that will be spoken to all of us and use them in our lives to honor and to glorify Thee. In our service this morning, O Lord, get honor and glory unto Thyself and edify Thy people. Bless those who have asked an interest in prayer and all for whom we should pray. Forgive us of our sins, we humbly ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. I invite your attention this morning to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 33. Again, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 33. And this verse of Scripture reads, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I trust the Lord will bless us as we consider this and other related, some other related passages of Scripture. I want to look at the last part of the verse of Scripture first, and then look at the first part of the verse of Scripture. You say, well, it's backwards. Well, just consider the source. All right, but the last part of the verse of Scripture reads, "And all these things shall be added unto you." There are some, I'm sure, and I've heard it from time to time, I'm sure maybe some of you have heard it, that believe this verse of Scripture teaches that we can be rich in this world's goods. That is, if we have faith, or if we're faithful to the Lord, we can be rich in this world's goods. Well, and that is the idea that we can have everything we want. I want to give you just a portion of a verse of Scripture. Isaiah 53 is one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture about Jesus Christ the Lord. And of all the single passages of Scripture, chapters of Scripture, in my opinion, that's the best there is about the full work of Jesus Christ. It speaks about His death, burial, and resurrection. It speaks of His birth. It speaks of His ministry. So there's very little about Jesus Christ that's not referenced there in Isaiah chapter 53. But considering that we can be rich in everything, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, a portion of that verse reads concerning Jesus. It says, "He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." In Luke chapter 9, verse 58, Jesus said these words. He told it to a man. He said, and a portion of that verse it is, He said, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God hath not to lay His head. And I think about the wise man Solomon. Solomon had it all. I don't think there are people now that have more money than he did. But when you consider today's money, what Solomon had, Solomon was the richest man who ever lived on the face of the earth. He was brought in. Now, this is a good number, by the way. I say that sarcastically. Every year, 660 pounds of gold. 660 is not a good number, as some of you know. But one of those pounds of gold in today's money is more than $1 million. Now, that's what Solomon brought in every year, and all the wealth and other things that he did. But you know, I think, though I don't, the Scriptures don't say it in so many words, but it seems to be that way to me. In the book of Ecclesiastes, what Solomon said, maybe as he was older, and looking back on his life and all these things that he had, he says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity," says the preacher. That is, he says, all of that was vain. All of that was of no value. And so that's what Solomon said. Listen, brothers and sisters, the goodness of this world. Well, let me back up, stop right there, pause and say one thing. I had a pastor in Atlanta. Thank the Lord that I had him. He's no longer with us. He left the Primitive Baptist because he didn't believe some things that we do. But I'll still love him. I still think of some of the things that he said. But he said this one time. He said, "It's all right for me to own the finer things of life, But the problem comes when they begin to own me. And that was the case of Solomon. He had so many riches that they owned him, and they pulled him away from the Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, that's the problem with worldly riches. It's okay to have them. And some have more than I do. I'm thankful they do. And some have more than I do. They're faithful in the service of the Lord. But, listen, we need to remember that God has not promised us to be wealthy in this world's good. And I tell you this, brothers and sisters, seeking the kingdom of God for earthly riches is really not seeking after the kingdom of God. What that's saying is riches are more important. Why would we seek the kingdom of God and get righteousness before all other things? Well, I say to brothers and sisters, there may be many reasons, but the reason that came to my mind when I was studying this passage of Scripture is that, listen, we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness because we love God. And we love God because God has first loved us. And because God loves us, then He has given us so much, and especially in the spiritual realm, and sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and redeem us from our sins. God has done that for us. And because we know that God has done that for us, that we love Him, and because we love Him, we want to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness in spite of what material goods we may have. Alright, we can look at the context. Now, I said that there's not a promise we'll get filthy rich. But we can look at the context and see what Jesus meant when He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus said, "All these things shall be added unto you." Now, you know this, I'm sure, but I'll remind you that "these" is a word that in the Hebrew verse, God is close by. And this is and to those that are close by, we can look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32. We'll see the meaning of that. And He says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." And the gospel had not been preached to the Gentiles. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel at this time. And Jesus said again, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." Now, what He's saying there, you know, some of us are in the congregation are blessed to be fathers. We see a need that a child has. We do everything we can to make sure that need is provided. And every one of we fathers know that God is a better father and a better provider than we'll ever hope about being. But God is a heavenly Father who provides those things we need. Listen, all these things were important to the Gentiles. That is, those that didn't know anything of God. They were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. They were not taught the law. They were not taught the rest of God's Word. So these things, food and clothing and drink, were most important. Worldly things, worldly goods, were most important to the Gentiles. So listen, God will bless us with these needs in life. Think about it in this way. God fed the Israelites with manna in the wilderness, and He can feed us. Think about this, that God is feeding manna to the Israelites in the wilderness. It's estimated. Now, the number of men in each one of the tribes is given in the Scriptures. There was a census taken there. And yet, it's thought by some, estimated or whatever, by some that, listen, that doesn't include the children. That doesn't include the women. That doesn't include the older people. And so it's estimated that there were about 2.4 million people in the nation of Israel at that time while they were in the wilderness. Now, think about this. Wilderness is a word that means uninhabitable land. They were there in land that was uninhabitable, and yet God fed them. God had brought water from the rock. Can provide drink for us. And God who blessed them will not wear out their clothes. Even that 40 years while they were there in the wilderness can clothe us and can provide clothing for us. And so God is able. God will provide our basic needs. Now, we need transportation, and there are other things that I can say that we need. I know that. You know that also. But listen, God is able to provide whatever we need, regardless of what it may be. All right. And so he said, now these are the needs we have in life are what God will provide for us. Jesus said in this passage of Scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Notice what Jesus said concerning this. And by the way, it's good to remember that this is part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught to His disciples. Now, that means that they were His people. They weren't His people because they were disciples. But they were disciples, and that was the evidence, rather, that they were His people. And so, Jesus was teaching this to His people. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, I got ahead of myself, this whole Sermon on the Mount, the predominant theme is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, and they are one and the same. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, the part I want is, remember that Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, Jesus said, seek, and ye shall find. There's another passage of Scripture later on, but listen, there are those who tried to get there, the kingdom of God. Really did evidently by what I can gather in the Scriptures, but they tried to go by the broad way. Now, and instead of the narrow way, or the straight way. I'll give you an example of the two. There was when Daddy had a certain farm, there was a place called the Don Miller Place. And it was a very good place for coastal Bermuda hay. There was some on one side of the road and some on the other side. Very good hay there. And, but one of the ways we could get back from where we gathered the hay, or baled it, and loaded it, to the place where it ought to be stored, was a certain road, and it was a two-lane road. I mean, literally, a two-lane road. Because there was kudzu growing up to either lane there. And you didn't want to get on that lane because no telling what you might hit underneath the kudzu. And so, that's the narrow way. There's only one way you can go there. Then North Atlanta, maybe broader now, but there was one place there after you cross 285 going north, there are 8 lanes going one way. Now that's the broad way. There's all kind of room for deviation there. And Jesus said, we don't do it by going the broad way. That is any way that we'd like to do it, but we do it by the straight, or the narrow way that God has for us. That is following the teaching of His Word, neither turning to the right hand nor the left hand. All right. And so, but Jesus said again, seek and ye shall find. Now, what is the kingdom of God? In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, we find these words. For the kingdom of God, now think about this, is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, this is consistent to what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't seek this first, but then you seek the kingdom of God first, then these material blessings that you need, whatever they may be, they will provide for you. And now Paul was inspired to write, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, is a special blessing that God has for us. God has a special righteousness for us. And God's righteousness is greater than all the self-proclaimed righteousness we find in this world. And self-proclaimed righteousness is nothing more than self-righteousness, or when you get right down to it, it's not just self-righteousness, it's ungodliness. God has a way. And when we decide that we have another way, or we think we have a better way, then listen, that's self-righteousness, it's not God's righteousness, and it is ungodliness. We will have trouble when we follow the world's standard of righteousness. Now, we'll have troubles in life. We're not promised that. Jesus had troubles, and certainly we are no better than Jesus. And Jesus had troubles, we'll have troubles also. But we'll feel guilty if we follow the world's standards of righteousness. For a while, anyway, we'll feel guilty. All right? But God will bless us when we follow His righteousness. And one of the things I thought about when I thought about the idea that God will bless us when we follow His righteousness is that the Israel, when they got into the land of Canaan and possessed the land, God gave them commandments about sabbatical years. That was every 7th year. Well, after 49, 7 sevenths, that's 50th was the year of Jubilee. But every 7 years was a sabbatical year. They were not to plant anything. They were not to sow anything. And if anything came up voluntarily, that is, they had vineyards, then they were not to take any grapes off of the vines. The poor could go out and do that, but they could not. They were not to sow the field and anything like that. They were just to give the land rest. Now, there's some farmers in the congregation. I don't think many of you would want to go every 7th year and not plant anything. And you're not required to do that, just for the record. We're not under the law anymore. But listen, when they did exactly as God told them to do, though that was contrary to nature, then listen, God blessed them. They had enough from what they got in the 6th year to last them into the 8th year or the beginning of the next 7 years. They had that, and God blessed them. So God blesses us when we follow His ways. God has, and that's God's righteousness. God has a very special feast for us. And it is not like the feast that's taught in this world. That is, not having any problems. It's not like that. But God gives us feast in spite of problems. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, there was a quote from the Old Testament scriptures that God says, well, let's turn over there. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And it reads, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with the things, or with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, notice that expression there, be content with such things you had, food, water, and clothing. You see, be content with what you have. That is, don't put that primary or first in your life. No, don't make that the most important thing in your life. And so, but it goes on to say, why? Because God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. For He hath said. That means it's a quote in the Old Testament scripture. It's one of the first chapters in the book of Joshua. I didn't look it up this time, but God told Joshua when he began to be leader of the nation of Israel, I believe He said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And so He went on to say, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. And we look in the scriptures at the life of Joshua and the nation of Israel while Joshua was alive, God fulfilled His promise. He promised them they'd never leave Him nor forsake Him, and He did just exactly that. Joshua had a tremendous influence on the nation of Israel. Even after Joshua died, as long as there were elders among the nation of Israel that remembered Joshua, then Israel was faithful to the Lord. But when those elders died out, then things got to be different, regretfully. But listen, we can have peace because God has given us the promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, God also has a special joy for us. That's joy in the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 15 and verse 26, it's one of the promises that Jesus gave to His apostles about the coming of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. And in that verse of Scripture, He says that the Spirit would testify of Him. And so the joy in the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, is the joy in Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it's called joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, that's an amazing thing. God has a special joy for us. I can remember certain things, certain worldly things that I enjoyed, that I was happy about, and yet I realized that, well, it didn't last all that long. I can remember, some of you remember when a pickup across the road out there, we got in there with you. You remember seeing it, maybe. And, well, now it's 209,000 miles on it, so it's not quite as new as it was back in 14. But the Lord's been good to us. He's blessed us with so many good things, and thank the Lord for that. But there's a greater joy we have than that, and that's the joy unspeakable and full of glory, the joy in Jesus Christ. And listen, brother and sister, when we walk in God's righteousness, because we love Him, let's put it that way, not because we have to, not because we should, but because we want to, because we love God, because He first loved us, then, listen, He blesses us then with peace and joy. Listen, brothers and sisters, I think a passage of Scripture like this is important all the time. But I think especially in these times that we're living. We're living in uncertain times, and we don't know what the future will hold. As you know, there is much uncertainty. We worry about what some of the things that might happen. That we worry about that there are some that would wish to do everything they can to remove our religious freedom. And thank the Lord, in this nation we do have religious freedom. But there's some that would take it away if they possibly could. There is let me see if I can get this word out slowly. Criminalization, I get it, believe it or not. Criminalization of godliness. That's true. There is a criminalization of godliness. Good is evil, and evil is good. That is according to some people. God said something, a warning about that, in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. He said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Listen, brothers and sisters, God has standards in His Word, and we are to say that this is God's standard, and we want to walk in God's standard. We want to use, as I think it's a verse of Scripture, "This is the way. Walking in it." And God help us to do so, my brothers and sisters. Listen, but think about this. Regardless of what may come, God has something special for us. Regardless of what we may lose, God has the best for us. And the best that God has for us is the kingdom of God. It is also, as I mentioned a little earlier, it is also called the kingdom of heaven. It is a foretaste of heaven. Look with you in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. And he says here, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Listen, all the material goods we have, we can lose it in one way or another. I've known those that have lost their home because their home was burnt. And I know that there are those who have had their homes broken into. I know there are those that one of our ministers of the gospel, I think he was at that time, I'm not sure, but his daughter was getting married, he and his wife were up at Macon Mall, and then they gathered some things and went somewhere else, came back in their vehicle, all that was in there was stolen. Those things can happen to material goods. But listen, there is something that is within us that moths cannot eat. It will not rust. Thieves cannot prove it. It will not run away. It is there, and God has that for us. It is the best of these, among other things, for this reason. We can never lose that. It can never lose its luster, and thank the Lord for that. And we can always experience the kingdom of God's kingdom because it is within us. I remind you what Jesus said when some men came up to Him and said, "Well, when will the kingdom come?" I think that's where they put that, just to paraphrase. And He says, "It doesn't come with observation. It is within you. The kingdom of God is something that is within us." And thank the Lord for that. And listen, brothers and sisters, when we seek the Lord, He will manifest Himself to us. And during difficulty, those times are especially sweet. When we hit rock bottom, then we're going to realize then maybe that God is with us. When we're flat on our back, you know as well as I do, you've heard this, the only way we can look is upward. I think during difficult times, at those times that God has blessed us, and those are times when it's sweetest. I remember my daddy getting up at a testimony in Upton Grove years ago. I'm sure he probably, I don't know for sure, I was a young boy at that time, but maybe a teenager, I'm not sure about that, but he probably borrowed money to plant the crop, and dry years, as some of you know about them, dry years came, and he was burdened. And I remember my daddy in tears saying, I'll talk to the Lord. And my daddy, and some of you farmers have told me, on dry land, that this was really crop. Daddy averaged 100 bushels per acre. And the Lord blessed him. And I thank the Lord for that. But I'll tell you, brother and sister, I feel like that good yield of corn that Daddy got that year was a whole lot better because God blessed him to see the dry years and made him realize what could come and what he could lose with that. And so during times of difficulty, the communion with the Lord, realizing that God is with us during all those times, those are some of the sweetest times we could ever experience. Now, and so, brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless us to seek His kingdom before all else. And may He bless us in all we do to seek His kingdom. What I mean by that is, I know some of you are farmers. When you're on that tractor, you know that you can sing aloud. I don't care how bad your singing might be. You can sing aloud because that tractor makes a noise if someone's in the cab with you. If you have a tractor with a cab, then they can hear you. But listen, I have rejoiced in trying to, in a situation like that, I was driving an old ice cream truck, made more noise than some tractors, maybe more than those old fat John Deere tractors, fuel oil tractors, made more noise than that. If someone was in the camp with it, they couldn't have heard it. But singing those old songs, like Hallelujah, What a Savior, or When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and others like that. Now, when I rejoice in singing those, I tell you, brothers and sisters, I believe that's the kingdom of God. And listen, when we come here to the house of God, and when God blesses us to sit together, as we find in Ephesians chapter 2, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that's the experience of the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, you know as well as I do, it's not always that way, but thank the Lord for the times that we can come together. And God blesses us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the kingdom of God, or that's the kingdom of heaven. And so, God, may the Lord bless us in all we do to seek His kingdom. And when we do, then the blessings will be ours. He'll provide the material needs we have, whatever they are, but He'll also provide something greater for us, and that is the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, and that's to experience, among other things, God's presence with us. May the Lord be with us and bless us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.